This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. What's going on? I'm John Hansen. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, an early week PM hang where we talk fantasy on a Tuesday. We'll do that. We'll certainly recap last night's doubleheader. Pretty good night for yours truly. I did vow vengeance yesterday on the books, and I feel like we got them a little bit. Should have been 6-1 last night, but we do go 5-2. We'll recap it. Just missed the Zach Ertz Monday Night Special by 7 yards. That would have been beautiful. Well, though, do some buy low, sell high. It's a pretty wild environment out there. It's pretty cray-cray, as the kids used to say about 15 years ago. No longer saying that, but I am. But we'll buy low and we'll sell high. We'll continue to do business out there in the marketplace, and we'll continue to keep looking forward with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, popping out nuggets, data nuggets. He's out there mining right now. He's mining right now for data nuggets for the spot. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. And then per usual on a Tuesday, we go over the waiver wire, and it's very active as well. A lot of these dudes are like weekly rentals, basically. You know, you rent a player 2-3 weeks, you know, and just keep on wash, rinse, repeat, basically, because not a lot sticks on the waiver wire, but you can get immediate support if you're in need of help, like Kamani Vidal, something I got egregiously incorrect last week. Well, let's take a look at the doubleheader betting recap from last night's action. Kind of stinks that we lost the first one, which should have been a win, 47.5. You do have to give some credit to the Atlanta Falcons. They played well on defense. I tell you what, I feel a little bit better about J.J. McCarthy's horrible performance. That was, I believe, on the road in Atlanta. I mean, Josh Allen throws 2 picks, doesn't even throw for over 181 yards. He got stuck at 180. We didn't get much action here, but Shakir did tie for the team lead. Actually, he was tied for second with Shavers, of all people, with 5 targets. And if you watch the game, he just missed that long play, and we're good. We almost do a clean sweep if we get that. We'll take 5-2, but that one hurt a little bit. But good analysis, I think, on James Cook. They didn't even win the damn game, but, you know, he's a foundational player. And I mentioned the splits between wins and losses and all that, but foundational player, and dude ran for 5.1 yards per carry against one of the toughest run defenses in the league. And why? A, he's really good. B, the vision and patience coupled with the continuity up front make him almost unstoppable. So we get that one correct. Good thing I didn't go on that Drake London under. I was kicking the tires on it. I did see a tweet from our guy Scott Barrett that I thought was very, very interesting with Drake London. It might be a sign that you want to trade him. So here are Drake London's 100-yard games the last 2 years. 187, Mooney inactive. That wasn't even last night. 158, last night, Mooney inactive. 154, Mooney outscored London in that game. 110, in terms of London's yardage total, Mooney hurt the hamstring in that game. And then 106, Mooney hurt his shoulder. In games with a healthy Mooney and Drake London, London 57.8 yards per game, Mooney 57.1. That's pretty crazy right there. So that is why I was like, no. Once Darnell Mooney was ruled out, I'm like, nah, we're not touching that puppy. And, you know, quarterback did play better than I thought. Penix, they weren't very aggressive, and that's kind of what they do. Sit back there, and they play their zone. I guess they play a little bit more man. That's the thing. when and this is why I should have even brought it up, the London under. He's a man. He's not good against man, basically. So you got to man up on London, because when you do, he struggles to win. It paints a cloudy picture. You don't have those open windows for Penix. So just note that going forward. You can even, we can even look at their schedule right now to see when they've got man-heavy defenses. It looks like we're all right. Week 9 against New England might be something of an issue, but I don't see a lot of man-heavy defenses here, honestly, on the schedule. So I think we're good with Drake London. In fact, yeah, I don't see anything here. So not a lot of teams play a lot of man these days, but I thought that was very, very interesting here. And how about Bijan Robinson? I mean, unbelievable. He's baby Barry Sanders. I mean, he's miniature Barry Sanders. You're not supposed to be able to move like Bijan does at his size. He's incredible. I mean, just incredible. We shattered that prop. I mean, not even a sweat job on that one. I didn't even see the 81 yarder. I had to step aside. I come back. I'm like, oh, look, we hit the prop. So. Bijan's the man, and Tom Brawley's the man too. He did get that all Tyler Allgeier prop correctly last night. Now, him and I did not get the Caleb Williams prop correct. I don't know what the hell happened there. 4 attempts and negative 2 yards. Okay, that was weird. The whole game was a little weird, quite frankly. I'm almost shocked that Roma Dunze didn't do a little bit better. So there you go. Now we see a little bit of a floor for Roma Dunze. Again, not much of a day passing the football. We did win the DeAndre Swift prop. That was obviously easy after the 55-yarder. Maybe got a little lucky because that was only one of two catches. The first grab was like, what, 12-yarder? But no, we do not get it correct on the Caleb Williams prop in terms of the rushing. But how about that Zach Ertz, baby? We love double dipping and we love getting it correct. I mean, he shattered the catch prop over 3.5 and he crushed the yardage prop, 27.5. We got it pretty good over at 43. But again, we do not get correctly. We're not correct on the Monday night special, which I was feeling it, and we only come 7 yards shy. So there it is. That is the week that was. I think overall, I think we probably gained enough ground last night to where I think we had another winning week. I mean, we're not slaughtering the books, but we are hashtag winning, I do believe. So without any other notes to hit on from last night, let's take a look at your headlines here early week. Obviously, the big news right after we signed off, the Titans fired Brian Callahan. I don't know how much better things are going to get with Mike McCoy being the new interim head coach. Now, Mike McCoy has been a head coach. He's had success as an offensive coordinator, but oh boy, it's not gone well for that dude. And the Calvin Ridley injury, I'm still just absolutely ticked off about it. They didn't have much of a margin for error this year, but I thought that with the talent on the offensive line, that they'd be able to run the ball, stay on schedule. Cam Ward, probably an upgrade over Will Levis. Nothing has gone well, really, starting with the offensive line and their running game. We've got the MRI results on Garrett Wilson, hamstring. He's going to be out. It's a knee, hyperextended the knee on that last play of the game, expected to miss a couple of weeks. So it really does beg the question, how are we going to matriculate the ball down the field? I would say Mason Taylor. I'm actually shocked that he's still available in like 70% of Yahoo leagues. I know he came up small in week 6. I predicted it. I wish I took the under, but he is not a guy you want to use against man heavy defenses. And I do look at their schedule. I think we're looking good. Not Cleveland in week 10, but Carolina, Cincinnati. And then down the stretch, by the way, Miami, Jacksonville, New Orleans. That's Atlanta, Miami, Jacksonville, New Orleans. That's a pretty good stretch of games there. And hate to say it, but maybe we'll have Ty God, because Tyrod Taylor is in fact a god. compared to Justin Fields. We have a little bit better chance to actually sustain offense with Tyrod Taylor. Georgie Kittle, that's the hamstring. He is expected to return to practice this week, and we should see him out there, I would think. So Jake Tongis, thank you for your service, but it is now Kittle time with the San Francisco 49ers. I have no idea, by the way, who the quarterback will be. But by the way, speaking of quarterbacks, one item that is a developing story, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell said he is helping J.J. McCarthy on, quote, building that foundation back up. So maybe there certainly probably was something to being a little overwhelmed. You open the career. I mean, Troy Aikman said it best all summer. No quarterback has more pressure on him going into week one than J.J. McCarthy. And it does not seem like he handled that all that well. But we could be getting a break here with Quinyon Mitchell getting injured with the hammy, and maybe he misses the game. That would help. It's not a nationally televised game. We'll talk trade markets, buy low, sell high on the other side. But first, if you think you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app. Pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you win. Right now, the NFL kickoff. New users still getting a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit necessary. And when you do deposit, you could potentially earn up to $200 in bonuses. All your action on all the sports. So head to better.app, that's BETR, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play and pop in the promo code VEASAN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Buy low, sell high. We'll do some business in the trade market next on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VEASAN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
A Tuesday edition of Prop Points barrels on here on VSIN. The show, by the way, sponsored by Better. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Download Better or visit better.app. Now, sign up today and get a free $10. No deposit needed or necessary. And of course, wherever you get your pods, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast, Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. I did want to pop out. Like, I am feeling a little Shohei Ohtani homer today, but I won't make an official pick because I don't have the odds in front of me. And, you know, we're supposed to talk football here, but I am 2-0 on my MLB props this year. I know it's kind of a joke, but they're two Dodgers props. And I did happen to notice that Shohei Ohtani has two homers against Peralta, who is the pitcher. And also, ready for riveting analysis, he's due. Basically, he is. He has not hit the ball well since that Reds series. He's worthless against Philly, basically. Like, they beat the Phillies. Like, we don't even need you, dude. Like, although he did pitch well. Let's give him that. But not hitting the ball, that will not continue, I do believe. But let's get into the task at hand, which is buy low, sell high. We're always out there looking to do business. Every week, I know everything that occurred. Certainly have a good handle on the data. And I just stare at the schedule and color-coded, by the way, over at fantasypoints.com to illustrate ease of matchup, difficulty, all that. So, it's right there. You just stare at it and think it through, and you come up with a list. And here's my list right now. Well, we can start off with Lamar Jackson. You know, again, I'm all in on the Ravens coming back, basically. Season two, by the way, there's six seasons in the NFL season, within the season. And they're big losers, season one and season two. But that's in the rear view now. That's behind them. And I think they're looking good in seasons three, four, five, and probably six. We do have some. I like all Ravens, just full disclosure. Maybe I should just get right into Derrick Henry real quick, because just over the next 3 weeks, mark my words on this puppy, Derrick Henry will be a top five fantasy running back over his next three games. guaranteed almost. I know that people hate that word, but barring injury, he's going to run over the Bears. Then he's probably going to run for 175 against Miami, and then he's going to run all over the Vikings. That's it. He's going to run for 425 minimum in the next 3 weeks. Just saying. We'll get a little Patty Ricard back, the fullback. Obviously, what happened last week, you know, just when you thought Derrick Henry, and I was saying this last week, not that I was saying feel good about him in week six, but just when you thought, or we thought, that it was hopeless. Nope, it's not. 24 carries, 122 yards. He didn't score, but that's a pretty good day. He also caught a ball. So, I mean, he didn't crush you last week. Otherwise, how about Jordan Love? Nothing earth-shattering here. He certainly is also a little frustrating. But when I really look at it, there are only two quarterbacks right now who can stack up with Jordan Love in terms of the completion rate. Well, actually, there's a couple, but there's only two who are better than Jordan Love right now in completion rate plus yard per attempt. And those are Lamar Jackson and Sam Darnold. That's it. Otherwise, Jordan Love is crushing it. He's like at 8.6 yards per attempt and over a 70% completion rate. In that company is our guy, Michael Cohen's guy, Drake May, who's balling, and Daniel Dimes, who is, of course, balling. They're going to get Christian Watson back, I believe, for their next game. And he is a needle mover. And they might get Jaden Reed back in 2 weeks. So potentially he could be loaded. And it's an amazing run of games down the stretch for Green Bay and Jordan Love. Weeks 13 through 17 at Detroit, Chicago, Denver is tough, at Chicago, and then Baltimore. But in four of those five, Jordan Love could absolutely crush. Javonte Williams, small buying opportunity after his first poor game of the season with a season low 8.4 fantasy points. But usage was outstanding. 81% carry share, second highest of the season, and a 23.5 percent target share, highest single game since 2023. I don't see anything worrisome on the schedule. I think he's going to hold it down all year, and it looks like Dallas will be competitive all year. We're going to get CeeDee Lamb back at some point. Non-threatening schedule here. DC, Denver, that's tough. Arizona, Vegas, Philly, KC, not easy there. Detroit, Minnesota, LA Chargers, DC. Nothing really scary there. How about Aaron Jones? Remember him? Seemed like we forgot about him. He's not going to play this week, but he's scheduled and eligible to return after the next game. And that may somewhat coincide with them getting this O-line back. I mean, come on. It's incredible. But in 2 weeks, let's say, we could be back to full strength. And oh my goodness, we have not. I mean, we have probably had fewer than 10 snaps on the season with this O-line at full strength. Maybe in week one we got a little bit more than that. But I do think Aaron Jones will be handy. Maybe he's just going to be the 1B, but, you know, it's a good offense, obviously. Quinshon Judkins, this is a little bit more of a short-sighted deal because obviously last week was terrible. But I do think he'll run for 150 this week against Miami. Then you got New England. That's not great. But probably get some volume there. The Jets, bye week, Jets, Ravens, Vegas. I think we'll get some volume there. Next up, Trevion Henderson. I know he's not getting any more action. The routes were down. But we are just one or two Ramondre Butterfinger Stevenson fumbles away. They got to not pull the plug, but they got to pull way back. I mean, one more fumble. And by the way, as a Vrabel address today, Ramondre, oh, by the way, he's not any good because he's worried about ball security more than anything else. RJ Harvey, not a bad option. Maybe you're banking on a J.K. Dobbins getting hurt. Here's some receivers that I'm into based on schedule. Roma Dunze coming off a bad game. Really good upcoming schedule, though. Saints, Ravens, Bengals, Giants, Vikings. Pretty good schedule for Roma Dunze specifically. Same deal with Cortland Sutton coming off a bad game. Giants, Cowboys, Texans is tough. Vegas, Chiefs by DC, Raiders, Packers, Jaguars, like that one. How about Justin Jefferson? Really good schedule here. Philly may not have Quinyon Mitchell. Chargers is not good. Detroit, Baltimore, Chicago, Green Bay, Seattle, DC, Dallas, Giants, Lions. Like that a lot. How about Steph Diggs? He did have that big play call back, or else maybe his trade value would be soaring right now, but maybe took a little bit of a hit last week. I like the upcoming schedule at least. Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta, Tampa, New York Jets, Cincinnati Bengals, Giants. McLaurin, I mean, you should be able to get him for pennies on the dollar at this point. Here's an interesting one. A little bit of a shot in the dark, but they need somebody else in Pittsburgh. It's not Calvin Austin, and it's not Pat Freiermuth. How about Jonnu Smith? Love this schedule at Cincinnati, Green Bay, Indy, Chargers, not great there. Another Cincinnati, Chicago. I mean, that's a beautiful schedule. I'm still going to trade for Mark Andrews. And then some players that I wouldn't mind selling right now. Daniel Jones, not that I'm down on Danny Dimes, but they're almost too good. Sometimes you're worried about, you know, them pulling starters. Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, is doing pretty well. I see some low volume outputs and or tougher matchups. Chargers, Titans, Steelers, Falcons, Chiefs, Texans. Ashton Jeanty, next 8 weeks, not great. KC, bye, Jacksonville, Denver. Dallas is pretty good. Cleveland's brutal. Chargers, Denver again. Not great. Ramondre, next 3 weeks. Not great. Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta. Cleveland and Atlanta, two of the better run defenses in the league. And then Xavier Worthy, he could actually be a buy low, but I'll go the other way. Seems like he's been beaten to a pulp lately, and then we're going to get Rashee Rice back. And now I don't love the schedule down the stretch. Buffalo, got a bye week. Denver, that's tough. Indy, Dallas, Houston, Chargers, Titans, Broncos. Not loving that. So there's what I have in terms of the buy low, sell high marketplace. We will talk week 7 data points with Stephen O'Rourke on the other side. But first, VSiN Pro subscribers now have an exclusive access to new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind soccer analytics in the UK. AI-driven projections for all the positions. You can sort by player, game, or stat and track all the projections and how they shift. VSiN Pro subscribers can see them now at VSiN.com/props. That's VSIN.com/props. Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data next here on a Tuesday edition of Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tuesday edition of Prop Points continues right now here on VSiN. Good afternoon. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. And from the aforementioned website, we go to the Progressive Guest Line. Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, senior film analyst on the X Machine at Call Me Steve-O. We always put him in a tough spot because basically, he's got to wake up Tuesday morning and, oh, yeah, last week just ended 8 hours ago. But what do you got on this week? And, you know, last week, Ashton Jeanty, he did very well. CMC did very well. You had little Drake May. So, Stephen, you're feeling pretty good here heading into week 7. What's up otherwise other than your Lions losing literally everyone in their secondary?
Yeah, it was a tough Detroit sports weekend, having to roll from the 15-inning gauntlet that was the Tigers losing to the Mariners into Sunday night and the Lions just looking lost against the Chiefs. It was a rough weekend to be a Detroit sports fan, to say the least, but we're used to it. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. You are. Yeah, I will admit, I actually went to bed on Sunday night. I did not enjoy watching that puppy, but that's neither here nor there. I can miss a half a quarter if I need to, but I can always go back and watch it if need be. But let's move onward and upward to week 7. And hey, Jalen Waddle is getting it done. Typically, I like him against zone-heavy teams, but that's not the Browns yet. you have some data points that paint a pretty good picture here with Jalen Waddle. Lord knows they're not running the ball this week. They're going to have to rely on Tua Tagovailoa's arm. So what do you have here on Waddle?
Yeah, despite all the turmoil within the Miami offices, it seems as though Jalen Waddle's the one thing that's kind of working. He's looked really good on film. And, you know, with Tyreek going out, he's become the de facto number one receiver for them. And Cleveland runs the third most single high coverage in the NFL at 63% single high. They've been strong in single high, but they do give up about 8.8 yards per attempt to out wide targets and a 6.6% completion percentage over expected. And Jalen Waddle has a 28.2% target share against single high coverage this year, which is 14th in the NFL. And since week four, that's jumped to 35.9%. Which is sixth in the NFL. And since week four, he's averaged 4.44 yards per route run, which is ninth in the NFL against single high coverage. Like you just said, Cleveland's been really good against the run. It'll likely push Miami to throw the ball a little bit more. And despite being a below average team, the Cleveland does face a 2.6% pass rate over expectation because of their run defense. So I expect Jalen Waddle to get some work done and have a pretty good game this week.
Our guy Ryan Heath had an interesting tweet, by the way, about the Dolphins that was yesterday and Mike McDaniel. I'll read it right now. The Dolphins are 15th in EPA per play with a bottom five roster, basically. There are obvious culture locker room issues, but all that stuff comes much easier when a team has the talent they need to win games. This is a bottom five offense under almost any other head coach or offensive coordinator. You know, that's a little bit of a contrarian thought in terms of the, perception. But yeah, maybe Mike McDaniel can be a great offensive coordinator, probably not a great head coach. Let's move on to Sterling Shepard. We were just talking off the air. I've always been a Sterling Shepard stan. I just loved him. I just thought he was so rock solid, so consistent, great route runner, good hands, all that. It's been a catastrophe for the career overall, but you know, he's hanging in there lately and he is playing with his boy Baker from college, and you like this matchup against your depleted Lions secondary. What do you see here on Shepard?
Yeah, he's finally healthy, and you know, I think that was always the thing standing in the way. When he was healthy, he looked good. It's just he was never healthy, but now he's been healthy this season, and like you said, the Lions are badly hurt in the secondary. It's looking like they're down Avante Maddox, down Terry Arnold, they're down potentially Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch, DJ Reed. They're just getting everywhere. Shot in the foot every which way. And, you know, with that, they still run man coverage at the sixth highest rate in the NFL at 35.6%. That went down last week, but I think that was more a factor of playing, you know, Patrick Mahomes. But when lined up in man coverage, they are giving up a 73% completion percentage and 8.12 yards per attempt to slot targets, which that's where Sterling Shepard has been lining up. He's been their primary slot guy with Godwin out, lining up 52% of the time in the slot. And he's tied for the lead in target share against man coverage. Now, you know, Tampa hasn't faced a ton of man coverage, but when they have, Sterling Shepard has shown to be one of the best separators against man coverage this year. He has a 31% win rate. Baker's been ripping the ball. The Lions' run defense is pretty solid. I think Baker's going to look to go in the air quite a bit, and I expect Sterling Shepard to kind of be the guy that they work short over the middle quite a bit this week with, you know, on the other side, the Bucs being depleted at wide receiver. So I think Sterling Shepard's prop is probably going to be decently low, and I expect him to kind of crush that this week.
Yeah, I love the video, by the way. I don't know if you saw that, but apparently when Tez Johnson scored the game-winning touchdown, he heard chants of, you know, MVP, MVP, and he's like, me? I haven't really done anything. It's like, no, dude, we're talking about Baker, you dumb. That was Shepard who had to remind him of that on the sideline. That was a very funny clip.
That was incredible.
Shout out to Tez Johnson. Shout out to Tez Johnson, because that guy, you know, we saw him at the Senior Bowl, and, you know, he reminded me a little bit of Tank Dell in terms of, and maybe Calvin Austin, like, small jitterbug guy, uncoverable. We're talking with Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, as usual, on a Tuesday on the X Machine at Steve-O, and what the hell is that address? There it is. 07. Call me Steve-O 07. That's it. But you have thoughts on J.K. Dobbins, and J.K. probably won't stand for just kidding. You know, last week against these Giants, I tried out Saquon Barkley rushing. I saw the schematics of it all, explosive runs. First two carries, he's got 31 yards. But then the Eagle coaches, they realize, oh, what do we do now after our scripted plays? And they were lost. But you like Dobbins in the matchup probably to rip off a long run.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins is doing really well before contact. The Denver offensive line looks good in the run game. He's averaging 2.36 yards before contact per attempt the last 3 weeks. He's at 2.63 yards before contact for the season. He has a 7.7% explosive run rate, which is sixth in the NFL. In the last 3 weeks, the Giants have given up the ninth most yards per carry in the NFL, fourth highest explosive run rate in the NFL, and they're giving up about 2.16 yards before contact per attempt, which is 10th lowest in the NFL. J.K. Dobbins also has been consistent at breaking tackles throughout his career. He's averaging 0.14 missed tackles forced per attempt and 4.86 yards per carry. You're kind of seeing Denver. I don't know if it's just a lack of trust in Bo Nix trying to kind of figure that out, but their pass rate over expectation has dropped the last 2 weeks, and it got down to minus 5.2% last week. So I expect the Broncos to lean into the run a little bit this week. And, you know, I still expect them to win. I still expect Cortland Sutton to have a good game, but I think that J.K. Dobbins is kind of the wheel that they grease throughout the week to kind of get that offense moving quite a bit.
And then finally, what do you have on Jalen Warren? Because we're now worried about maybe a three-headed monster with Caleb Johnson getting some work. But Ken Gainwell is a factor, yet this is an interesting one. You're looking at like missed tackles forced and things like that with Warren up against the Bengals.
Yeah, since he's been struggling against the run the last couple weeks, and they struggle to bring runners down. Overall, since he has faced the most rushing attempts in the NFL the last 3 weeks at like 104 rushing attempts, and they give up the third most missed tackles forced in the NFL, and the fourth most, that's third most in the last 3 weeks and fourth most overall this season. Jalen Warren, he's like J.K. Dobbins, except even better. He's consistent at breaking tackles, and he's averaging 0.28 missed tackles forced per attempt. He had a good week last week against a tough Cleveland run defense. I mean, he only had 11 carries, but he went for 52 yards. And 72% of his rushing attempts are coming on zone concept, and the Bengals are giving up 4.5 yards per carry on zone concept runs and a 52% success rate. The Steelers defense has been really good. The pass rush is really good. I expect that Cincy offense to struggle overall. And so that kind of leans toward a game script that, you know, leans toward the run, you know, late in the game. And hopefully Jalen Warren is able to wear down that Cincy defense, break a lot of tackles. And, you know, if he gets 15 carries, I'd expect it to be 75 plus yards for him.
Great stuff from Stephen O'Rourke. As always, give him a follow on the X machine at callmesteve07. Good luck with all the picks. Steven, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll talk waiver wire on the other side. But first, if you think you know sport, start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. When you do deposit, you can earn up to $200 in bonuses, and they're giving you $40 for every friend you bring in. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Head to better.app, use the promo code VEASAN for your free $10 deposit bonus. Waiver wire is next.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Final segment on a Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in per usual. I am personally, for the first time, looking at props for Thursday Night Football to see, you know, see what we see here. But there's a couple of players I'm waiting on, lower end people who have not been added to the board, but already looking ahead. Nice 5-2 night last night. A little risky popping out seven props on a rando Monday doubleheader, but we do emerge victorious, although very, very close to a 6-1 that darn Khalil Shakir catch that was overturned would have gotten us to 6-1 had he gotten the game of inches. Anywho, let's digress and take on the task at hand, which is looking at your waiver wire. It's painful for me to admit this, but I literally screwed the pooch on this Charger backfield. I figured out why last week. You know why? Props on the brain is really what happened, because I just thought Hassan Haskins can get to 33 damn yards. So it's just kind of clouded my vision of the backfield, and I ended up being incorrect. So at this point, and Kamani Vidal is still only rostered in 27% of Yahoo leagues, and obviously he is much better equipped to handle volume, basically. Haskins seems like goal line guy, third down pass protector, maybe. Now, watch him pop off and have a big game in 1 or 2 weeks from now. That'll probably happen, but it doesn't matter. I've seen enough. It's Kamani, Vidal, or bust in this backfield. Literally, I'm not messing around with Haskins ever again. Again, Vidal or bust. Vidal or forget it. Of course, unless Amarin Hampton returns, then you're back with Amarin Hampton, although he might miss 4 weeks going forward. I know he's already missed one, but there's word that the injury could be a little more serious. Harold Fannin, you know, this is indicative of the seesaw nature of the NFL. After week one, hot waiver wire ad, everyone gets him. A couple down weeks, now he's available in 75% of Yahoo leagues. However, but David Njoku got hurt. Knee injury, don't know the severity yet, but I'll tell you this. Dylan Gabriel cannot throw the ball outside the numbers. I mean, he'll do it here and there, of course, but that is an inside-out passing attack, of course. So that bodes well for Harold Fannin. And even if Njoku doesn't miss time, Gabriel is thrown to his two tight ends 29 times already. What's that, three games? Is it three or two? It might even be two. Is it two? I'm losing it here. He's thrown to the tight end a lot. Trust me. And Harold Fannin could be an absolute PPR machine. No doubt about it. Moving on, Trey Tucker. I mean, again, this is like, why aren't people more into Trey Tucker? He's still available in more than 55% of Yahoo leagues. Let's just say it that way. But until Brock Bowers is back, I am now looking at Trey Tucker as the number one receiver. By the way, it's 2 weeks for those Browns tight ends. I looked. 2 weeks. So that's a lot. 29 targets. Trey Tucker, I believe, is Geno Smith's number one receiver. Now, he is still a little volatile, but he has produced in 66% of his games. So I think he'll be a good bet to hold value all year. Kendrick Bourne to be alive. I must have been thinking that so much that the algorithm on Twitter, aka X, got me. I scrolled up to a Born to Be Alive video, quite frankly, to that song. So the algo got me. But he is, in fact, born to be alive, and he's maybe even born to lead the Niners in receiving this year, which seems insane because the guy was signed off a couch a month ago, but he knows the offense. And at this point, I'm pretty good to just say he's the two. Whether he's filling in for the fragile Juwan Jennings or the equally fragile Ricky Pearsall, and I love Ricky Pearsall like a son, but the guy does have availability issues. So in one way, shape, or form, it looks like Kendrick Bourne is going to be no worse than the third option in the passing game going forward for the Niners. He's obviously balling. I mean, the guys have been incredible. Mason Taylor, as we mentioned, I'm shocked about this. 65% of people in Yahoo leagues are like, don't care. Don't need him. I understand the quarterback situation isn't very good, but we did learn that you don't use him against man-heavy teams like Denver last week, but they don't have many of those on the schedule. And I love the playoff schedule. I'm telling you, by this time, December, we'll probably be sick of Justin Fields, and we'll just put Tyrod Taylor out there because you can have an actual professional offense. with Tyrod Taylor, unlike Justin Fields. And if that happens, then get ready, because Mason Taylor with Tyrod Taylor, the Taylor Bros, will be a thing. Next up is Josh Downs. Absolutely respect Alec Pierce, and I understand it's a little annoying. Too many weapons. They're too good. But at this point, let's just settle into the fact that Josh Downs is good, and he's going to be a factor most weeks. Not every week, but he does have a pretty good ceiling, as we saw last week with 16-plus fantasy points. Danny Dimes is dealing. Downs does a lot of work in the short to intermediate area, middle of the field. This is where Danny Dimes does it. I was high on Downs this summer, along with Tyler Warren, and not Michael Pittman. And all of a sudden, Pittman's kind of, last couple of weeks, has kind of fallen off. So, again, Josh Downs not going to crush it for you every week, but he's good. Good offense, and he's kind of coming on. Oh, and A.D. Mitchell is probably done. The A.D. stands for after drop, because since the drop, I think he's living in Chateau Bow Wow. Next up is Darius Slayton. Despite events over the last 2 weeks, which have not been good, I'm backing him because Jackson Dart needs a go-to guy. It's not Theo Johnson, that's for sure, because he stinks. And Wandale Robinson can only do so much. Darius Slayton is a big play threat on the outside. Dart is playing well enough. Again, he needs a go-to guy. Christian Kirk, I still think he's a sneaky option in this offense. I know it's not a great offense, but, you know, maybe we can show some improvement. Last game I thought was very encouraging. They called off the dogs. Could have done a little bit more than the 64 yards he got on only four targets. It's kind of an inside-out passing attack as well. So he should be, you know, somewhat active. Jordan Whittington, of course. If Puka Nacua misses time, Whittington, the main beneficiary. Never really been that into him, but if you're getting seven targets from Matt Stafford, then I'm into you. Rams have a bye in week 8, so they could give Nacua at least this week off. Also, how about Tez Johnson to expand off the list a little bit? I saw this guy at that Senior Bowl, very electric, very much like Tank Dell. If he is going to have a prominent role with Baker Mayfield the next 1 week or two, I mean, I'll take a shot because Baker's playing with his hair on fire. J.J. McCarthy, I know I'm a J.J. McCarthy stan, but it does seem like we're trending toward him playing this week, and we might not see Quinyon Mitchell. It would be a beatable matchup against Philly. In Minnesota, not on national television, and I'll mention it again, I had JJ as my QB12. Obviously, that's not happening right now, but a 33-year-old Carson Wentz signed off the couch on his fifth team in 5 years behind a decimated offensive line is the QB12 over the last 3 weeks. Also, Christian Watson, going to be a pain in the butt, but if you're looking for a guy who could make one big play and or score any given week, that would be Watson if healthy going forward. Sam Darnold, I think he's extremely comfortable in the offense. It's very similar to Minnesota's and a rock solid fill-in dude, and you can even maybe even roll with him as your number one. And then a lot of experimentation on the waiver wire. We take a shot, we experiment with this player. Week or two later, doesn't work out, cut him. And Aronde Gadsden is worth a shot after that breakout performance. Looks like Tyler Conklin is going to be phased out. Now you still have Will Disley. You can't keep Will Disley off the field, apparently, but Aronde Gadsden does have some upside. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off with prop points. It is Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Keith Azari at 2 p.m. Eastern. On today's show, Adam Burke recaps the weekend results and previews early week edges across the MLB and college football markets. That is followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Matt Humans at 7 Eastern. I do like Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run tonight for what it's worth. Don't know the odds, but just throwing that out there. This has been a Tuesday edition of Prop Points. We'll catch you on Wednesday with another edition right here on VSiN.